No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the tamer.
Take me to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. What the hell? We got a full crew here for the first time in months. No, I don't know. Weeks, I guess.
Weeks.
Just Plane Radio.
Sounding fun.
It has been that long,
yeah,
hasn't it?
Yeah,
wow. Well, go figure. Well, it's happy year. I'm glad to have both of you here with me today. I feel more complete.
Glad to be here.
We're one big happy family.
Here, I wouldn't go that far.
I'm just happy to be healthy again.
True.
Yeah, I mean, between mine was earlier in March, but between the three of us, we've not been doing that good.
Zika made its rounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah,
Zika
we're back.
Hit me the hardest, I think.
I knew it was bad when Keith actually went to the doctor and used medicine. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, he's like fundamentally against all medical science. Isn't that how it works, Keith?
Pretty much.
Okay. Well, there you go.
And I actually,
have changed your ways.
No, not at all.
No,
but
when
my wife suggested,
yeah,
I think. You're going to the doctor. That's a suggestion, right?
Yeah, that's a wifely suggestion. He didn't argue?
I didn't argue.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that was bad.
I just got in the car and rode along.
Yeah. But it worked. Because you sound normal. You look,
normal for him.
Yeah. I wasn't going to go there, but since Ed's here.
I know.
I have him look like a deflector.
Dog. I understand.
Yeah. Speaking of dogs.
We'll get there later.
Yeah. They can fly, evidently, which kind of upsets me. And I kid you not, I thought I was going to get certified when pigs fly. Have been a few comments that have come here to the Just Plain Radio headquarters, that hadn't happened yet as far as I know, but dogs evidently have flown.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get to that story here in just a bit, but first I want to talk about a new plane that you guys got at, you're helping to manage there at Flight Training Professionals, is that right?
That's right.
Yep.
So after we did the show last week, Keith tells me, hey, we got this new Cirrus there at the flight school. And I'm like, what? You got a new brand spanking new plane, a four-seater Cirrus? It's like those are like super planes or something. That's like the hot new flying machine. Am I right, Ed?
I wouldn't call them super planes, but they're a high performance airplane.
High performance. That's what I mean. It's kind of like a sports car airplane.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll go with that.
So
I'm like, I've seen these at the shows, but I've never had the opportunity to fly in one. And you are actually getting checked out so you could actually teach on this plane. So first of all, what was it, or what is it?
It's the SR-20.
Okay.
Is what we're doing right now, and I just ordered my materials to study. To get the differences, the transition to the SR-22.
Uh-huh.
So I'll start that.
And
probably
that's two better than the 20.
Yeah, evidently.
Yeah.
So the 22 is bigger or more fast or what? What is the difference?
Same basic airframe, but a bigger power plant and a few more systems on it.
A few more systems. What, like two parachutes instead of one?
No, it still only has one parachute, but it has what's called a wet wing. So alcohol in the wings so you can fly into known icing, and it keeps the ice off the leading edge of the wings, things like that.
It sprays alcohol on the wing to keep ice off of it?
Off the leading edge, yes.
That
doesn't necessarily spray it. It more or less leaks out.
What kind of alcohol are we talking? Like a cheap alcohol, I hope. You wouldn't want to waste a good rum or anything like that.
Well,
when you're talking
FAA,
yeah,
there's nothing cheap.
True.
No.
So we're talking about like a Havana Club 7 or 15-year aged rum.
Probably even more than that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's expensive stuff.
What is it, like $40 a gallon?
$40 a gallon.
$40 a gallon.
That's what we paid last time we filled it on that thing.
I'm trying to do the math here. Liters. No, that's an average bottle of rum.
True. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, that's not.
That's not even a good bottle of rum.
That's not really. In the Bahamas, you could easily do that for under 40 and get a decent booze out of it. But it just sounds like typical governmental alcohol purchasing rates to me. It's probably
I think
a
some people
gut.
Would think that's alcohol abuse.
Well, I'm going to say.
Why waste it on a perfectly good airplane?
I know many friends that would agree with you, for sure. But that's what it does, though. It just leaks out a little alcohol to keep ice from forming on the wing. So that's one of the new technological advances of the Cirrus SR-20 or 22.
SR-22, yes.
It's only on the 22.
Yes.
Okay. So it's more winterized, I guess.
So it's certified for flight into known icing.
Okay. So, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. So did you already fly the SR-20 or no?
I am checked out on the SR-20.
Okay. So that was the one you were telling me about that you're getting ready to fly, and you described a little bit of what it was like to fly one of these things compared to a high wing, you know, Cessna or something.
Well, you know, I've heard a lot of interesting things about the Cirrus.
Yep.
And, you know, one of the things is, you know, is it had to have a parachute on there, which I believe it does.
Mm-hmm. Well, they all do, don't they? Isn't that their main thing?
All the Cirruses do, yes.
Yeah, well, but what are you saying they had to?
To be certified. The FAA that had characteristics that they decided that it was... They would not certify it. Now, these were the original Cirrus aircraft without the parachute. Now, whether or not the new design, newer wing designs need that or not, I don't know.
So you're telling me.
Here's the story behind it.
Okay.
One of the founders of Cirrus was in a mid-air collision.
Hmm.
His airplane, they were able to land.
Yeah.
And obviously he survived.
Mm-hmm.
The other airplane, folks weren't quite so lucky.
Hmm.
And so he went ahead and wanted to design an airplane that you would be able to survive a mid-air collision with something like a parachute. And that's where the design came from. So the design of the parachute was there from the very beginning.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't because the wing absolutely had to have it or anything like that. It was because that's the way he designed the airplane. And so they took this thing, the airframe, and dropped it out of a C-123, and did that many times to try and figure out, you know, what do we need to have as far as ballistics in order to get the whole thing done right. Mm-hmm. So that's the history of the parachute.
Okay,
is what I didn't know.
Well, and that's kinda cool. That's kind of what I thought. I didn't think it was the other way around, which you were kind of alluding to. Maybe the FAA demanded that they have a parachute.
That's actually been the common story out there for years.
Really? Well, that would be news to me because I thought that was like their main claim to fame.
It really
is. That was their main marketing.
And we had always heard that the FAA required it, and so they turned it around and used it as a marketing tool.
Yeah. Right.
And said that, you know, hey, our airplanes are so safe, we've got a parachute. If you're in doubt, just pull the chute.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've all seen many incidents on TV of guys that, or should say pilots, that have pulled the chute and have survived.
Right.
And so
videos are out there now. They got the proof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's actually worked pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So my experience, the airplane is actually pretty docile to fly. Even throughout the stall series, you know, I had always heard horror stories, but we did full power on stalls, 30 degrees of bank. And
Well, when you say you heard horror stories, what do you mean? That that when you go into a stall in a Cirrus, that it wouldn't respond as manageably, I guess, or as like a Cessna or something?
You know, it'd be real easy to get it into a spin. Well, any airplane's easy to get into a spin if you're not coordinated.
Right, okay.
You know, I mean, that happened in a 172 or a 150 or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And so, but if you do the maneuvers properly and you stay coordinated, like I said, we're full power stall, 30 degrees of bank, airplane stalls, you know, lower
dips
the nose,
down.
Level the wings, and climb right out of it.
Okay. So you just got to follow the training that you're given, and you're good to go. Not much different.
This is one of the things that I've noticed about it and started me thinking more about bringing a Cirrus onto the fleet is how Cirrus takes its training seriously. They have a really... adopted a culture of train, which results in, I think, a decent safety record as a result.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and you've gotten into it, Keith, more than I have so far. I'm next up for the training. So far, have you been impressed with actually what they've put out there for the training requirements?
I am. A lot of it is redundant. You know, like the stuff I'm doing now for the SR-22 versus the 20, a lot of it is redundant.
Right.
But there are some things that they have forgotten. They have some very thorough checklists, but they don't have things like a takeoff briefing in their checklist. Now, in their training program, they go over very thoroughly what you should brief on a takeoff. For instance, you know, if you have an engine failure on the runway, you're just going to bring the power back like we would do.
Mm-hmm.
But when is the parachute available and things like that that you want to brief on your takeoff and you don't have a briefing in your checklist?
Mm-hmm. Well, so that's what whiteout and little post-it notes are for, right?
Well, it's electronic, so you can't do that.
Well, I think there's an app for that. All right. But anyway, we'll talk about how these Cirrus handle next right here on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can never be with someone who likes Joni Mitchell. It's Cloud's Illusions, I recall. I really don't know Clouds at all. What does that mean? Is she a pilot? Is she taking flying lessons? It must be a metaphor for something, but I don't know what it is.
I just want to fly. I come burning in the sky up so high. Put your arms around me, baby. Put your arms around me.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. We are your crew as we navigate the latest aviation news and information, which includes dogs flying. I kid you not. A real dog flying an airplane. And I still haven't got my ticket yet. What?
Three of them.
Three dogs of?
Three.
Oh, my gosh.
Four, if you include me.
We'll get into that in just a bit. But we're talking about Cirrus airplanes right now and how they differ, you know, from flying like a Cessna 172 or 182. Flight training professionals Ed and Keith, who work there, they just added one to their fleet, and they're learning themselves. So we've talked about how, you know, there are certain differences on how they train you to fly these things. But how's it handle when it comes to landing and taking off and that kind of thing? Because you were telling me that these planes actually run a lot faster and have a much higher speed, you know, when you approach the runway to land. Is that right?
Yeah, your approach speed in the SR-20 is 78 knots.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a little bit faster.
A little zippy. Yeah.
But, you know, everything is really pretty much the same, other than the in your round out and the flare.
Yeah.
You have to time that a little bit more precisely than what you would in a 172, because the elevator is smaller, and so you'll run out of elevator authority a little bit more rapidly, shall we say. And so, you know, we try and come in with that full stall landing.
Yeah.
And you've got some grace in the 172 because you've got a pretty big elevator back there for the size aircraft.
Right.
And in the Cirrus, you don't have that.
Got it. So you just have to time it better, make sure you're right on, because if you're a little bit off, you don't have the elevator to compensate.
So what happens is you'll lose elevator, and so now you cannot rest that sink rate anymore, and so you're just going to drop it in. So you have to get a little bit closer to the ground, and it looks like it's a flatter pitch attitude when you're landing, but it's only a look.
Yeah.
It's really not.
Just
so you're still
going to
touch down mains first, and yeah.
Yeah, and at that point, the parachute's not going to do much good for you.
No, so it won't do
it
any
good.
Point,
you blew the airplane.
Speaking of
money.
of that departure briefing, when is the chute available for use?
Usually it's going to be about 600 feet AGL.
So 600 feet or above, you have a chance to save the airplane and yourself.
But you still have to look at, less than 500 feet. You know, you've got no options other than, you know, like we do in the 172.
Yep.
30 degrees of the nose, where are you going to put it?
Line straight ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you're taking off runway 7 in Orlando, you're probably going in the lake.
Yep.
You know, between 500 feet and up to 2,000 feet, you have to start thinking about, okay, if I'm going to use CAPS, which is the parachute system, or if you're going to try and get the airplane restarted, or what you're going to do, and what altitude is the minimum that you're going to say, okay, I just got to pull the parachute now.
Mm-hmm.
Above 2,000 feet, now you want to start looking at maneuvering the airplane to get it back to the, at least over the airport area,
right,
before you pull the parachute.
Yeah.
Because once you pull that parachute, you've got no control.
Right,
There's none at all.
Mm-hmm.
You're just on the winds.
So, along for the ride.
And so, you know, in an area like we have, you know, from Orlando Executive, a lot of people, no matter where you look, you know, you're coming down into houses or, you know, buildings or schools. You know,
yeah.
We've got a lot of that.
Power lines.
Yeah, so all those things that you want to think about.
Yeah.
You know, so
it's
really have to have a plan. And so those are the things that you really have to brief on your takeoff.
Yeah. It's really not for use in those scenarios, really, anyway. I mean, wasn't the parachute thing really for over water things more?
No, it's,
I thought it was more.
No, it's really stuff. For anything. You know, there's been people that have gotten themselves into situations where they're VFR on top and they're only a VFR pilot with no holes to get down. And so they
pop the chute
and come on down through the overcast layer and land safely. Now, proper weather briefing should
prevent that.
That was embarrassing.
Or continuing flight into an area where, you know, you can see it's overcast.
Right.
You know, things like that. But
yeah,
at least they're still here to talk about those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, do you think a dog would be able to know when to pull the parachute of a Cirrus? Did they do that training?
That might be a little bit advanced training for the dog.
Yeah,
A German Shepherd might be able to figure that one out, but, you know, the rest of them, I'm not sure.
I don't know. What were those dogs that were flying these planes?
Rescue dogs.
And they were German Shepherds, I believe.
No, they were just rescue dogs. None of them were German Shepherds.
Oh, they weren't? Okay.
No.
Well, you're the dog guy in our group, so I'm assuming you would know.
Yeah, they were just mutts.
Okay, they were just mutts. But, basically,
nuts,
this guy in the UK is like the dog whisperer kind of guy from that side of the pond, and he's done all kind of crazy things.
Taught him how to drive cars.
Yeah, and so he's like, if I can teach him how to drive a car, a dog driving a car, which God help us if that is actually going on. Maybe, you know, in the UK,
actually,
it doesn't matter.
A little bit better than some of the people I've seen.
Well, good point.
Yeah. Especially around Central Florida.
Have you been on I-4 lately?
Yeah.
I stay off of there.
Me too.
They may be dogs driving down that interstate, no doubt. But this guy said, I could do this with the dogs in a car. Why not take it up into an airplane? And obviously, when I first saw the story, I thought, oh, this is a, like a, you know, April Fool's Day hoax or something. that's meandered into our inbox a few weeks later. But I guess it's legit. There's video and the whole thing.
Yeah, there's a whole little segment on it.
Yeah, and so it's this guy's on TV over in the UK, and he taught these dogs by using what, red and green lights or something?
Blue and red lights.
Blue and red
and white lights. The blue lights, if they were on, that would signal the dog to turn left. If the red light was on, turn right. And then the white light in the center would be fly straight. And of course, every time they responded correctly with moving these controls, and they built these wooden simulators that had controls on them, had the lighting.
Yeah,
their trainers running the lights, so there's a person telling them, "Okay, turn left," and turning the blue light on, and making sure that the dog's paying attention to the lights. And
right.
Some term they were using, they got them paid, and the dog would make the turn, they get a treat. So in the airplane. They have a flight instructor with them, take off.
Maybe that's what we need to do with Greg.
Yeah.
Give him a treat every time he
does
something right.
Well, you give me a banana, but that's usually after the flight's over. You need to...
We need to do it during...
Yes.
That's where we went wrong.
Mm-hmm. Little Snickers bars.
It would have been done years ago.
York peppermint patties.
No, I'm dog biscuits.
No, that won't work. I have my
So family. How do they keep them straight and level, though?
Well, they teach him where the straight and level is on the controls.
Yeah,
and so the instructor's sitting there like this. So he's got his hands up. So on video, you don't see his hands touching the controls.
Right.
I don't know what he's doing with the rudder pedals, but they obviously have it well-trimmed in smooth condition.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's something we can incorporate into our training. Dog treats. No, just treats. Don't put the dog in front of it.
Liver treats.
Oh, we're going down.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. All right, so the TFR over Disney, Disney World and Disneyland, is evidently in the process of becoming permanent, or is now permanent. Did you see this? I just got a text on this or email.
I thought it already was permanent.
It was a permanent temporary TFR. It's actually not
temporarily,
even temporary a flight restriction. You can just say flight restriction.
Yeah, but no, it was a permanent temporary flight restriction.
Are they going to be charting it?
I guess so. That's let's see. What is this thing here? Disney TFR is to be charted. There you go.
Okay.
That's what the headline says. Hello.
So did Disney's whole deal backfire on them?
They
wanted the TFR initially.
Yeah.
And then they wanted it lifted so that they could fly their
drones and stuff. Yeah.
And now it's going to become permanent?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they'll, Mickey will still find a way. And this doesn't, the TFR doesn't eliminate drones, does it? Does the TFR apply just above stuff over 500 feet? I guess it doesn't, not at Disney. You knock out like Space Mountain and stuff if you're flying below.
Yeah.
They'll find a way. Come on, Mickey is magic. Let's be real. But I'm surprised.
They got the TFR the first time. After all, they can do pretty much anything they want.
Yeah.
Yeah. So AOPA was instrumental, or one of the partners, trying to get this permanent, because I guess one of the problems is people were coming down here to Florida and Disneyland and thinking they could just fly over there and not realizing this was permanent temporary TFR was in effect and throwing people off. So they figure if we make it permanent, then it'll be more, I guess, on everybody's chart, and they'll know that you can't just fly in.
Yeah, that'll fix them.
That'll fix it, you think?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anybody who's flying over to Disney World.
How many people have flown through the Space Coast restrictors?
I'm guessing there's been a few by the way you guys are looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't me. I mean, don't give me that accusatory look.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying there's these restrictions all over the place, and people still go in them.
Yeah. So you don't think this is going to help?
Nah.
Dog treats.
Did somebody land on the White House lawn?
And he's going to jail. So it's jail or dog treats, or, flip them one way or another. Maybe that'll work.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Everybody on every plane should just constantly be going, oh my God! Wow! Yes! You're sitting in a chair in the sky.
Yes.
Come on and fly.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith of Flight Training Professionals. FTPros.com is the website for you to go and check out how you can learn to fly and have them as your flight instructors. All right, a couple other little news tidbits that I came across this week. Qantas Airline, our Australian friends over there, down under, have come up with a way to increase female pilots. Have you seen this?
No.
Keith? What do you think? Maybe they could just hire them,
increase,
I guess.
Them how?
Well, they want to, you know, they want to make you know
more of them.
They want to increase the level of or make it more attractive for female pilots, I guess, to, you know, go after those jobs.
Get rid of the males.
Well, that'd be one way, maybe. But there's a shortage. I mean, they want more female pilots in their ranks. And evidently, somebody has figured it out that the reason they don't have enough is that they don't have the proper uniforms for female pilots. And so now Qantas actually has a new plan to come out with a uniform, a pilot uniform, that is more catered towards women as opposed to just putting them in a male pilot's uniform and calling them a professional pilot.
See, I've said this years ago that we should do that, and nobody wanted to take my suggestion at all.
Well, I didn't know there was a difference, but evidently
there is no difference.
There is no difference.
Well, evidently there is.
Other than they get a female shirt versus a male shirt.
Well, when I look at the picture here,
there's still not any kind of figure flattering type uniform in any way, shape, or not. That necessarily a guy's is either, but
yeah. Well, that's the thing. For the picture with this story that I'm looking at, it doesn't really, I can't tell if this is the new outfit or old, because I'm hoping it's the old, because I can't tell any difference from the woman and the four other guys in the picture. But they think if they make the pilot uniforms more female friendly, that more women will want to become private pilots or professional pilots for an airline like Qantas. Do you think? I mean, you guys are...
I don't know.
We're all guys here, but we're slightly feminine.
Say,
so
I guess
we'd have to ask somebody like Maggie about that.
Yeah.
But I do know that the women that I have worked with in the cockpit, they hate the uniforms.
I'm sure. But what would they wear? What would be different about it? I never
asked that question.
Yeah. I don't know what they would want.
Because, you know, when you're in that enclosed environment, you know, you kind of stay away from those kind of conversations just to protect yourself.
What would make you more comfortable? A little bigger on the top side, bottom, what? Help me out here.
Yeah. So you ask that kind of question and yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So
sexual harassment lawsuit, all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, leave it to our friends from down under to solve this problem that we didn't know existed.
Taking it on.
But
they don't have those issues over there.
No, they don't.
No.
What do you mean they don't have those? They do. They're trying to solve it.
They don't have sexual harassment issues over there like we do over here.
They just don't care. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that may be. That may be. All right. Well,
I know a guy who went into a major lawsuit because flight attendant called up, said, "Hey, it's cold back here." He said, "I'll throw another log on the fire." And that was sexual harassment.
That was sexual harassment?
Yes. Because that meant that he wanted to snuggle up with her in front of the fire.
Wow. That's a little strange.
But the company's got a quote-unquote zero tolerance. And so if that's what she thought, that's all that mattered.
Hmm. Okay.
That's how ridiculous this politically correctness stuff is.
Yeah. Well, I would agree with you on that.
I'm sorry we're getting
that seems a little over the top. However, I mean, if they want to wear their own uniforms,
maybe
and
Qantas
slightly different,
will move over this direction as well. They'll start a trend throughout the industry.
What, put fireplaces in the cockpit?
Well, you know, hey, you know. No, I mean, if they can get this trend to work with the female pilots, maybe it'll move westward.
Well, maybe, but I don't know what that would entail exactly. But, hey, I'm not against it. What the heck? I've never even thought about that female pilots and male pilots for major airlines would have a different uniform. It's not even crossed my mind.
Very few women feel pretty in a pilot's uniform.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that
they necessarily...
You know
how women are. You know, they have to feel pretty and...
Right, send your hate mail and to Keith at Just Plain Radio.
That's not hate mail. That's just, hey, I've been married 32 years.
Yeah,
I got two daughters. I got, how many sisters? Mm-hmm. Four sisters. You know,
I think we can call him almost an expert.
Almost.
So, almost.
Yeah.
I don't feel pretty today. That's really what a woman is saying when she goes to her closet. And she says, I don't have anything to wear today. That's what she's really saying.
Hmm.
She's saying she doesn't have anything in her closet that's going to make her feel pretty for the way she feels today. Now, when a guy goes to his closet and says, I don't have anything to wear.
He literally has nothing in the closet.
That's because it's all in the laundry.
True. He has it. It just smells really, really bad.
That would be my son coming home from college. Every bit of it was dirty and ready to go into the laundry.
Interesting. Okay. Well, we don't know the answer to these perplexing questions between the sexes, and God knows we'll never figure them out. You know, men are from Mars, women from Venus. We're from, Kentucky. I don't know. It's pretty
sad. I think that was
sad.
A slam on my wife's kin.
No, it wasn't at all. Anyway.
I'm going to tell her you said that, Greg.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about other things. What about things you can do
try to get out of it real quick.
Yeah. It's,
oh, don't worry. She's not listening.
Totally
to
deflect.
Well, I think we should have all of our women send in their emails and tell us what they think.
Well, I just got a text here. Hey, guys, you really want to know what the problem is? Just put on some women's clothing and see how you feel doing the show for an hour. Any takers?
No.
We'll let you do that.
Okay.
Why don't you do that and let us know what you think.
What do you think I'm wearing?
We'll bring
right
video
now?
Cameras.
Anyway, all right. So here's something that I usually, I think is kind of ridiculous and a little over the top. However, I kind of like this idea. And this is, it's not recycling.
She's still talking about wearing women's clothes?
No.
Yeah,
planes.
I think so.
Airplanes. Let's talk about airplanes and recycling, but not recycling.
Say that masculinely.
Quit it. Planes that you don't recycle but repurpose their parts. Have you ever seen this? I mean, you guys have some don't you have some props at the the school up on the wall, artwork and that kind of thing, and that's all good and dandy. But there's a company. I think it's called, Free Fallen or something. Once again, this is another company from the UK. So they're always beating us to the punch, at least seems like this week. Folks overseas are coming up with these interesting ideas. Falling furniture. All right, so the pun is stuff falls from the sky and they turn it into furniture. You know, so when an engine falls off a 757, you hear this every once in a while in the news. These guys have taken the shell of the engine and turned it into like a chair.
Mm-hmm.
If you see, look at the picture of this thing. See this up there? Have you seen? Can you guys see this from over there?
Yeah.
That is pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
It's kind of a mod.
That would look good in the hallway of our flight school.
It would look great in every flight school.
Repurposed.
What do you have?
Airplane equipment in the hallway.
We got a couple of chairs.
It came out of an airline.
But are they actually redone or are they just...
No, they're original.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You just have the chairs
themselves.
Well,
they've been fixed up.
Well.
But they're still airline chairs. You haven't turned them into like a sofa type of thing, have you?
No.
Yeah, and that's what these
next to each other. If you lift the arm up, it could be a sofa.
Well, that'd be a love seat.
Oh,
which kind of goes back to wearing the women's clothes again. So I was trying to get away from that, but there you go.
Not in my mind. Was it in your mind going back to that, Keith?
No. I think somebody just wants to wear women's clothes.
Hey, now. All right, but that's pretty
cool.
But that
would be cool to sit inside the engine of a 757.
Yeah. Yes. And or taking a exit door. I guess one of the other projects they did was take an exit door from an airplane and turn it into a table. Now, wouldn't that have a curve to it, I would think.
But, yeah, I would think so.
Which would be kind of a weird table, but they did something to it. And but taking aircraft parts and or taking a plane and disassembling it and turning it into airplane furniture is kind of a cool idea.
If you go to, there's a restaurant at the end of the runway at Wichita, the main airport at Wichita.
What, AOPAs?
No. Wichita, Kansas, home of Cessna.
Yes, the Cessna facility.
Beechcraft.
They got a lot of jets. They got a lot of leftover parts.
There is a restaurant at the end of that runway called Hangar One, and the tables you sit at basically are radial engines with glass put on top of them, so you can look at the radial engine, and that's your table you're sitting at.
I like it. Well, these guys are charging like $60,000 a pop, so
we're
in the wrong business.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Waiting 30 minutes before swimming after eating is a medical myth. However, flying after diving can be a serious issue. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll tell you why next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Flying after diving is hard to avoid. DCS, also known as the bends, is a risk, but can be managed with forethought and planning. The depth and length of your dive and the rate of ascent back to the surface play a huge role. Quickly ascending to altitude in an airplane can exacerbate the issue. And that's why you should wait a minimum of 12 hours before flying after one dive and 18 hours after multiple dives. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
A buzzard took a monkey for a ride in the air. The monkey thought that everything was on a square. The buzzard tried to throw the monkey off his back, but the monkey grabbed his neck and said, "Now listen, Jack. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top."
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. All right, so flying dogs, aircraft parts turned into furniture, Ed in a tutu. We've covered it all today. It's kind of remarkable. And
notice he, once again, goes back to women's clothes.
Yeah.
Just called a summary of what we've covered, navigating the latest aviation news and information.
But I don't believe you're talking to keep about me doing any of that. It was all about you.
Passengers informed.
Isn't this show all about you?
Sometimes.
When it's convenient for you.
Exactly.
Okay.
So let's just move on. All right. So, Cirrus, you were telling me at the commercial break that there was another issue with the parachute that if you pull it, and actually I didn't know this, if you pull the parachute in an emergency situation, the insurance company will cover that because that's very expensive.
Well, it's according to Cirrus.
Yeah.
They've said that the airplane can be basically repaired.
Yeah.
They've only repaired one and they've never resold it. So the insurance, but they went around and started saying that to the buyers that the insurance company will have a zero deductible if you pull the chute.
Okay. Well, which is good.
Which would be good.
Yeah.
And maybe they did back in 2007, 2008, from what the insurance people are telling us. But as of right now, none of the policies that we were able to obtain, especially not commercial policies, but not even any of the private and business policies, had anything like that in there. I mean, there is an in-motion deductible, and they will be expected to pay the in-motion deductible.
Mm-hmm.
Which is usually at $2,500, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah, right. Well,
but you know, it is one of those, you know, Cirrus is once again using for the marketing. You'll get, you know, pull the chute, you get a new Cirrus.
Hmm.
But you have to be much more proficient in this airplane because the glide ratio is extremely less.
Yeah, it's much less than what you would get
in a 172 or if you're training in a Piper like Archer or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more, probably consider it to an aero, Piper aero.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you have an engine failure,
mm-hmm.
this airplane is coming down.
Yeah, you better know where you're going quick.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you've got a lot less time to make your decisions as to where you're going and what you're going to do. So even in the traffic pattern. Now, I've always flown very tight traffic patterns, you know, 3/4 of a mile at the most away from the runway.
Mm-hmm.
We see it all the time where people are flying a mile and a half, you know, sometimes 2 miles out from the runway.
Right.
And extending downwinds, you know, past that 45 degree. You do that in this airplane, it is absolutely guaranteed you will not make it back to the airport.
Yeah.
If you're on a tight downwind, you know, that 3/4 of a mile to a mile at the very most,
mm-hmm.
you lose an engine to beam the numbers, and you immediately make the turn.
Yeah.
You will barely make the runway.
Mm-hmm.
So the airplane comes down quick.
Well, and, you know, sometimes you have to do all that because you're following other traffic.
Right.
Or there's traffic coming in on file, and you have to extend. You have to realize that, okay, I am out of gliding distance, so that's an automatic chute pull.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And no, that's system. Part of the issue with that checklist as well, because there is no approach briefing in your checklist either. And so that's part of what you need to talk about is where are you going to pull that chute if you have a problem on the approach and landing? At what altitude do you absolutely pull it? And where is it no longer available to you?
So that's not on the checklist that you guys have seen from Cirrus yet?
No. There is an app. And I've not seen the app, but I've heard that there's an app out there. If you use the app for the checklist instead of the electronic that's in the airplane,
yeah.
that it is on there.
So there is an app for that.
Like you said at the beginning of the show.
Yep.
So I actually need to look at that app and see if it's actually in there or not.
Right.
Because the one in the airplane, you cannot change.
I'm just impressed he knows what an app is.
True. He is a bit of a technophobe.
He did have to get the new iPad Pro 9.7 inch screen. You know?
Yeah. Because it's nice. It's bigger.
Well.
Only because I knew it came out before Ed. Ed didn't even know what it was.
I didn't even know it was coming out.
It's been out for a while.
I'm still working with the Generation 1 iPad Mini.
Yeah. Well, you're behind the times. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, basically.
You're still a bigger nerd than I am. You ain't getting past that. I might have the newest stuff, but you're still a bigger nerd.
I'm not going to say anything. All right. So what about the, the insurance companies, though, if you pull the chute under a circumstance where they find that it wasn't necessary, you're saying that they may not cover that deductible issue or the plane period or what?
Oh, no. At any time, an insurance company can choose not to cover damages,
mm-hmm.
okay, if they find that the pilot has been negligent.
Right.
And negligent is doing something a prudent pilot wouldn't do. Now, in pretty much every case, you look at when a chute deployment could occur, that is what the prudent pilot should do in that instance. So I doubt they would ever do that. Now, what's going to happen in most insurance cases, they're going to pay the aircraft the loan off on the aircraft, but they can subrogate against the pilot in command of the aircraft and try to collect damages if the pilot in command was proven to be negligent.
Mm-hmm.
Super hard to prove negligence, so it's not very common.
Okay.
Especially since you don't have a flight data recorder.
All right. Exactly.
Well, let's just keep it simple. Just take me up in that thing after you guys are both ready to fly it. I'd like to get a free ride. Can I do that?
He can get a ride. I don't know about a free
one. Then show
one.
Me where the button is for the chute, just so I know.
That's part of the passenger debriefing.
Well, there you go. See? It would be a fun ride. I've never skydived. Could be a first. And on that disturbing note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site for Morbid.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.